Good afternoon, everyone. Boy, I think we're going to have standing room only today, and I know that wasn't because you all came here to see me speak. Welcome to day three, or halfway through day three, of the Inspired Home Show 2023. I'm Peter Gianetti. I'm with the IHA, and I'm also the editor-in-chief of Homepage News, which is the International Housewares Association's B2B news platform. I have the pleasure of coordinating the keynote sessions every year here, and I look forward to this one the most, as I'm sure you all do. I've been covering the home and housewares industry as an editor for 33 years, and Lee Iseman has been speaking here about color. We figured, Lee, it was around 25 or so years, and I made the mistake earlier of suggesting that, except for the time that the Housewares Show was shut down by the pandemic. And she was quick to remind me, oh, no, we did that virtually then too. So Lee has not missed a year. And it's kind of an important message because it represents the fact that the color journey in this industry is no longer just a physical journey, it's a digital journey, and it all intersects. And Lee's rather lengthy business card would tell you that she is the director of the Iseman Center for Color Information and Training and the executive director of the Pantone Color Institute. But to the IHA, to the Inspired Home Show, and to the home and housewares industry, she's just Lee. Pure and simple, the most important, influential color authority we have in this business. She has this uncanny knack for recognizing, identifying, and pulling together influences from across our lives to tell a compelling story on the opportunity for color in all its diversity, in all its complexity, and in all its nuance to make a vivid difference across the home products landscape. You all will see the wonderful Pantone display we have on the Grand Course, and I really encourage you to check it out because you get to see kind of this menagerie of how color is now influencing our lives and our business. And today, Lee's gonna talk about the art of living and the role that color plays in that. Without further ado, it is my distinct pleasure to invite Lee Iseman up on the stage. Lee. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Kisses are better than handshakes, right? Well, I'm delighted to be here in a new room this year. This is a little different, isn't it? And to look at and see a sea of faces. Some of my colleagues are here. Some of my former students are here. And some of my groupies are here as well. Some who've been with me in this long journey at IHA for many, many years. I have to say this is the most enjoyable talk that I do. The people here have just been so helpful. And now that it has been renamed in the last couple of years, the Inspired Home Show, I would just like to say that it's that inspiration that really moves me. And when you come to this show and you walk around and the things that you see and the people that you contact, it's really quite amazing. And I'm delighted to have been a part of it for as long as I have been. Now, as Peter mentioned, The Art of Living is the name of my talk. And I'm going to, brought up the wrong thing. Here we go. Love technology, don't you? Okay, we're going to go back to here, and we're going to put my name in the way you all do every day. Now you're going to know my password. That's okay. No, I made a mistake. All right. Here we go. Boy, isn't this a great way to start a talk? And anybody who's a speaker out there knows exactly what I'm going through right now, right? Okay, there it is, The Art of Living. Okay, what exactly does that mean? That's our forecasted title for 24. And when we look at the word art, what we generally think of is the art that we see on the walls, whether it be in a museum, in a gallery, or possibly even within the home. And sometimes it's quite gorgeous. And we also know that art has another meaning. In that it's not just about the art on the walls and on the museum, in the gallery. Art is also the application of human skills, this is the actual meaning of it, and imagination, producing works or objects to be appreciated primarily for their design, color, and emotional message. And of course, at Pantone Color Institute, we're all about the emotional messages of color. That's really one of the reasons why the Pantone Color Institute was created in the first place, to be able to give that perspective and bring it into the consumer world. Now, as we look at various other images here, we know that there are many products within the home and housewares industry that really could be referred to as works of art. And if not a work of art, at least bring some humor into the picture. This, I thought, was particularly gorgeous in that the duplication of the colors that we see from the painting in the chair. The word living in the art of living expresses a means of support, of sustenance, and well-being. It also connotes a lifestyle that includes activities, customs, and trends. So the meaning of the art of living goes much further than what we first alluded to as the art on the walls. We all know that a vital part of a full life is the good health, the stamina, and the strength in order to enjoy it. Being alive is an apt metaphor in a time when we are still, and we really are, emerging from the anxiety that has engulfed us in the last few years, and we can't ignore that even in the marketplace. We know that no matter where we are in this ongoing process, it's left an indelible emotional mark on our lives. There's that word emotional again, that seeks relief, renewed optimism, and rejuvenation. And this is what our customers, our clients, and consumers are looking for. Now, what you're going to see eventually are the Pantone View Home Forecast palettes that I'm going to be presenting to you. This is a quick overview of them. I will sum up where all of these palettes are coming from, because we always start out with the idea of the origination of the palettes. I don't want to stand up here and just pontificate on here are the colors, now run with them. But where are these coming from, so that you had a better understanding of where we find our inspiration? And as we look at these, this particular collage, we're going to see images that we will eventually see that are literally inscribed in the Pantone View Home Forecast. So many of the images that you are seeing today, and if you go by the Pantone booth, you will see this in the Grand Concourse, The Art of Living is in a book where you are going to see encapsulated many of the things that I'm talking about today, so that you have it in written and visual form. Now, I want to show you this particular image because I thought this was so effective. Water as the origin of life forms has been widely researched. And when science meets art, there's that word again, we know that a new trend can be born. Now, this eclectic and ethereal collection by a London-based artist named Marcos Kays is called Abiogenesis. And I would urge you to check it out online, because it really is a very effective way of digitizing art and showing life form as it first starts in the water. In the oceans, under the sea. And it's really gives us an idea of this kind of futuristic art, coloration, and design. And the colors that you're seeing, you're going to see repeated in our palettes as well as I move forward. Now, as we all know, water is a natural resource that supports life on Earth. Without it, there would be no life on Earth. It is also a source of energy everywhere in the world. Now, this may seem a little far-fetched, and you're wondering what in the world this has to do with color and design forecasts, but from a socioeconomic standpoint, and this is something we have to look at in color forecasting, We know that sustainability, we know that the ability to create energy, all of the things that we have been talking about are no longer subtopics. They're an important part of the work that we do. And I'll explain another reason why that is so important. In Helsinki, we see that we are seeing the most active form of fighting against climate change. Now, this is not pie in the sky, what I'm showing you. This is actually being presented now, and I'm going to show you what it's called. It's called Helsinki's Hot Heart, Decarbonizing the City and Making a Global Attraction. They are literally creating these island pods to be built off the coast of Helsinki. It's in the stages of starting. It's a concept that can be reservoirs, that will be reservoirs of hot water enclosed by transparent domes, which can contain tropical forests and ecosystems. So that literally in the waterways, these pods are going to be built that will create these ecosystems where people will be able to visit, actually vacation if they choose to, go for a day, whatever it might be. And it will all be heated by basins of hot water below them, providing a habitat for those plant species. Now I'm gonna go back for a minute because I wanna tell you a little bit more about this. There's gonna be new public spaces with a new form of LED lighting. That will heat it and simulate sunlight. So in the cold Helsinki winters, they will have these habitats to be able to go to. Now think about the implications of that all over the world, in oceans, in rivers, and seas, all over the world, where people will have the opportunity to have this thermal energy that comes up from below that replaces electricity because of the batteries that are generated through the waterways. Now, I share this with you because we know what we've all been through in the last several years. And to think about energy being produced and a new way out of some of our predicaments, and this is actually happening, it is not something we're dreaming of, I think is something for us all to take pleasure in and to know that the future lies with a great deal of optimism when you see this sort of thing being done. Now, I could be very market-born about this, and I can say, think of the eventual potential when people have other areas to go to live in, to inhabit, to visit, and the products that might inhabit those particular places. So there are opportunities that are out there that speak to a future that we can not only dream about, but see come to reality. Now, another indicator to water-based influence is being applied in the beauty and self-care categories, where there's an attempt to be cleaner and to forego synthetic ingredients. There's a return to the literal use of the word, the French word, eau, as in eau de parfum. And here we see an image, because they play well with the skin's natural water content, these water-based scents last longer on the body than any other oil-based or synthetic scents do. Now that's really something to think about. So the clarity of the water, the cleanness of the water, and the ability to infuse the product with at least that suggestion is inherent here. We also know, of course, about the benefits of drinking more water, being in the water or on the water. And it will be the subject of many appealing ads getting back into cruises again. Now, I'm mentioning all these things because as you see water as an all-pervasive trend, what's happening in and around the water, that ultimately affects your consumers and your clients. They read about the buzz, they hear about the buzz, they talk about the buzz. And the more that you can tap into that kind of mentality, that kind of thinking, the better it might be for your particular product invention. Now, another thing that I want to talk about is that we're seeing many more products coming out of the seas. We know that. And I wanted to show you some of these particular imageries because I thought they were kind of amazing. We see sea creatures such as scallops, snails, sea urchins, and king crab that are made into a clay from powdered seashells, creating ceramic glazes in various colors. These are highly sustainable, readily available, and similar to the ash used in bone china. So think about the oceans as a resource for product development as we move forward. Originally destined for landfill, shells can also be formed into slabs that are terrazzo-like in appearance and formed into decorative tile and accessories. So these actually come from the sea. We also see these bioplastic drinking cups made out of lobster shells that are quite amazing, aren't they? And these are literally being developed and are being in use in European markets. Here we see paper-like material made out of seaweed and all kinds of sustainable products that continue to enter the marketplace that are drawing more consumer attention and interest. And as reported in studies coming out of the Baker Retailing Center at the Wharton School at University of Pennsylvania, what has been reported is that consumers, and this is coming from the Wharton School, a very predominant school in their area, desperately want more sustainable purchasing options. Desperately want. So obviously, it is a buzz. It is important to think about the fact that people are really onto sustainability. It's not just, again, a pie in the sky concept, but something they are looking for. Now, I wanted to show you this particular lamp. This comes from a company called Light Art, and they're partnering with OceanWorks, a recycled plastic marketplace that makes use of reclaimed ocean plastics, and that is what this is. With each mixture, a pound of plastic gets removed from the 8 million metric tons that wind up in the sea annually. So this is something of pride to think about and to think about the impact on the consumer who is looking for this sort of impact. Now this I thought was quite amazing. This is an example of making a sustainable material in this cleverly crafted armchair by Fernando La Paz. It's made from a natural fiber harvested from agave, plain old desert agave. I live in Tucson and I'm surrounded by lots of agave. This is part of a project that has been started to restore soil quality. The chair has been described as offering a warm embrace for both body and soul. That's the way it's being marketed. As a result of climate change and the enormous interest in its outcomes and solutions, photographic scenic art is garnering great attention. This image taken by storm chasers, first of all, this is a crawler, it's called Crawler Lightning Strike over a rainbow. So this is a rainbow that had a lightning strike. This was also taken in Tucson. It was in the Tucson magazine. I was so taken by it that I read that there are women storm chasers, truly, who go around the world chasing the storms and taking these magnificent pictures. And the pictures are quite gorgeous, and they are so beautifully rendered. The colors in the pictures are fantastic, and this is real. It's not made up. It's actually in the atmosphere. So the rainbow seems to have a veiled cloud over it when the lightning strikes, and the visual effect is phenomenal. Here's another one taken this time in southern Arizona, highlighting the danger and the drama that sometimes comes out of these scenes. This is a dust storm, and the colors that were captured by the storm chaser. Now, this helped to inspire a particular palette of colors that you're going to be seeing in just a few minutes. We also see that the storm chaser stories are being featured in books, in magazines, and board games. So it is something to recognize and to talk about. Now, the next area I'm going to talk about is surrealism. We're going to go from the natural art to the unnatural art. We go to surrealism. Now, we know for anyone who is a student of art, surrealism is really capturing the day. because it's very much in tune with a lot of the doomsday kind of films that we're seeing, a lot of the Gothic influence. It really helps to capture that. But the surrealists, the artists, actually use surrealism because they recognize that that dreams were often an escape from reality. And they tried to depict what they saw in their dreams. And so when you see works by Salvador Dali and other more modern artists, you're seeing that dreamlike influence that comes into the selection of colors. Now, some of the combinations are quite unusual, but if you think of them in a surrealist context, you can see that they dare to be different. Now, these are two artists that were surrealists that were big in the 70s and the 80s. So it's not all about Salvador Dali, but we're seeing at MoMA in New York, at the Met, and also at the Musée des Arts in Paris, Decoratifs in Paris. You are seeing a revitalization of surrealist art. Offbeat, quirky, but definitely out there. And what it's doing is extending the world of color combinations. We're using colors together that perhaps at one time would have been thought of as quite different, and they are. But this I wanted to show you. This is Elsa Schiaparelli's. This was actually a hat that she designed, a very retro hat. She was a great friend of Salvador Dali's. They were great buddies. And he often inspired her fashion art. And the shoes that you're seeing on the right-hand side are actually Elsa Schiaparelli's shoes, and they were sold in the marketplace in Paris, obviously worn by people who dared to be different. Now, I'm showing you this particular designer because this is another area that, as forecasters, we look at. We look at the hot designers. What are they into? What are they doing? And I don't think there's anyone hotter than Kelly Wurstler. We are seeing modern-day digital applications of some of the surreal art that are being interpreted in interiors. And I thought that this particular picture was really demonstrative of that. Her collection is called Surreal Shifts. Surreal Shifts. And one of the companies she's working for does the carpeting. And we are seeing examples of it. Of course, this is for advertising, but this actually is a carpet that does exist. And much of what we're seeing in interior design in the very esoteric area is demonstrating the usage of surrealist art. And some of it is not wild and crazy, and some of it is a little calmer, but nevertheless, it's definitely an influence that we see coming forward. We know that economic pressures and the need to reuse and reclaim often leads to a very creative and quirky mix of method and materials. Now, we are calling this today, now, a new term is regenerative design. We're all familiar with reclamation and the other words that have been used, but the newest buzz term is regenerative design, where we bring new life to anything that is abused, underused, or otherwise neglected. This outcome can be hand-hewn, as in this table made out of charred wood from a forest fire, reclaimed from a forest fire, so it just doesn't stay in the forest. We make use of it. We also have intricately woven wood filigreed wood art, or sculpted art in these that are uniquely spun. No matter what the medium, surface treatment, or the color combination might be, originality, inventiveness, and the power of the imagination. Do you love this? I absolutely love this picture. I love the combination of the colors, and it's an extension of that idea of surrealism. Those are the key components. And this I thought you'd all get a kick out of. We are seeing what is happening. These are obviously hand-hewn. The pictures on the right are what might appear on a sandwich, but are hand-crocheted. And obviously the cover on the car is not exactly practical, but nevertheless, it makes for good conversation. Some truly imaginative and suggestive applications in home and houseware. Now, no doubt that these probably won't make it to the art place, but the point is, or to the marketplace, but the point is, they are seen as objets d'art. Even mundane, everyday objects have taken on that kind of attachment made to them. How about a mixer that looks like this? Great fun. So we are seeing reinvention and even subtle changes, as we're seeing here. So we know you're not going to rush out and do those kind of off-the-wall designs. But the point is that it can be very subtle, because in the end, this is what helps to engage the consumer's eye. And that's what it has to be about. If you don't engage their eye, you know, an object unseen is an object unsold. And so for that reason, we want to be aware of bringing these innovative new feelings into the marketplace. Now look at this as far as consumers' attention in food prep, in storage, in here, the white ceramic mushrooms, and in presentation. Now we've seen absolutely gorgeous examples of presentation, and that of course is always going to attract the consumer's eye. Now think about that in a website. Think about it in the way that you are presenting what you are presenting, elevating the experience, including, of course, the world of baking, which has gotten so much attention because of all the baking shows that we are seeing on television and streaming. The Art of Baking, this is Black Girl Baking. This is a fascinating book. If you're into baking, I suggest that you pick it up, because she makes some really incredible baked goods. But the point is, it's all about art. It's not only about the taste, but the art that goes into it. And certainly, beverage making has become a great art, as we know. There is continuing interest in creating artful tablescapes, whether they're traditional, or they are contemporary, or an eclectic mix of both, as we see in these examples. However, from a practical standpoint, and with a huge amount, this is another gorgeous one, I think, beautiful Art Deco influence, with a huge amount of interest around plant-based diets, food, and sustenance, is a trend direction that is deeply rooted in health and well-being. And we certainly know that's beyond buzzwords. That's really become a mantra for many, many people. And that is continuing to grow. Now, if we look at the statistics, 88% of food industry experts believe that the demand for plant-based products will increase exponentially. 88%, that's a huge percentage of increased interest as we move forward in plant-based diets. So think in terms of that coloration and how to present in this particular marketplace. Now here we're moving on to the fusion of art and fashion. And of course this expands easily into many facets of design. And here I'm showing you Stella McCartney and one of her designs. But I think what is most interesting is that she collaborated with Frank Stella. So it was Stella meets Stella between art and fashion. And here are several of her fashionable designs, in this particular same design, in the garment, in the bag. And it is a fashion art crossover that has informed her, one of her latest collections. And here are Frank Stella's art, which inspired Stella McCartney. Quite a crossover there. Here's another example of the fusion of fashion and art. And we're seeing this happening in many facets of design, most notably in interiors and in home furnishings materials. So here are two great examples of that. And another, art on the wall, but the inspiration coming from the art. Now, this certainly is not a new influence, but it's getting a great deal of more attention than we have seen in the last couple of years. And this I wanted to show you because rising talents like Bahamian-born Gio Swabi are dedicated to using recycled dress materials to create original art that speaks to her cultural background. Quite a talented lady, and the fact that she's using recycled fabrics is is really wonderful. Otherwise would wind up in landfill, and instead she's made these gorgeous art pieces out of them. And this particular quilt that is being shown at the Brooklyn Museum, by the way, called On My Bed, is by artist Luke Haynes, and it takes patchwork and color mixes to a new level of sophistication. So again, patchwork is not new, we know that, but look at the newness of the interpretation of this particular patchwork. Quite, quite beautiful. The art of entertainment, we know, is a rich trend resource. You've heard me say this if you've heard me speak before. It's huge. Going back to the influence of waterborne resources that I talked about before, the latest Avatar film titled The Way of Water, which, by the way, has also been nominated for an Academy Award. In the 2 months since it's been released, it has reached more than $2 billion in sales. Can you imagine $2 billion in sales in just 2 months? Now, why am I pointing this out? It's because millions of eyes all over the world are going to look at the picture, look at the colors that are in the film, and draw inspiration from what they see. So it's really important to watch the world of entertainment because this has a huge influence. And here is yet another picture showing Zoe Saldana with those amazing green eyes. This is going to extend well into 24 and beyond because Disneyland is in the process of building a new attraction around Avatar. And there are going to be, I believe, three or four more Avatar films in the works. So we look at these pictures because they definitely give a color story and a story on fabrication as well. So they're important to view. Another very important influence is the sequel to the film Inside Out, particularly if you handle any children's products. This is an amazing picture because it's all about color and the psychology of color. What goes on in a child's mind? This film is being released in 24. It's about the color of emotions and how adolescents can deal with them. So the main character has gotten a little older. She's an adolescent now. Each emotion, as I mentioned, is assigned a color. And here we see the characters in the colors. And Amy Poehler resumes her role as the voice of the main character, now grown into a teen. To quote Amy Poehler's comments about the film, "We're exploring the new emotions that live inside a young person's brain. We go there to see the madness that lives inside." To anyone with a teen, good luck with that, right? But we all know that these films are being heavily promoted. And with that heavy promotion means that you're going to look at the colors that are used in the film, and they're going to be repeated in certain goods. And they need to be paid attention to because you know the kids all love to buy those products or try to get the parents to buy the products. And of course, the parents will sit and watch the films often with the kids. So the same color influences will extend to them. Despicables 4, yet another sequel. Remember, a sequel always elongates the life of a product in the marketplace because then we have those beloved characters repeating themselves, sometimes in newer colors, sometimes in the same colors with a little twist. So it's important, even as an adult, to see these kids' movies because they will give you some great ideas about color combination. And of course, this particular Despicables 4, we see that black, and there's a character in white. There is black and white. There's some more sophistication that's included in the Despicables character. And yet there are some that are still primarily for the kids who love the bright colors coming right out of the films. As far as gaming is concerned, we know that this also spawns themes and colors. When we look ahead to 2024, we see that the action adventure games will continue in popularity, and the featured colors are definitely darker. They've been going in that direction. It's not changing. So the deeper colors are being featured in the gaming. However, having said that, that's not a comfort level for every consumer out there. The depth might work in some contexts, in other contexts not. Remember, with color, in real estate, it's all about location, location, location. With color, it's context, context, context. How and where are you using it? So we see it featured in gaming, yet, on the other hand, we know that we can go to the opposite extreme of the light colors. And we see that the color popularity by range of a large segment of the population is in the lighter color family. There's no question of that. And as we see some of the products that are contained in here, the continuation of the pinks, not a surprise as we move forward, that since they came out a few years ago, that has gained incrementally year by year. And we're seeing a continuation of that into some of the peachy tones at the same time. And here are some more images to show you that we can also move from the very light tones to the mid-tones. This is definitely a comfort level for many consumers. We can't ignore that. I love this particular picture because, again, it shows the influence of art. Even in that tiny picture on the left, that's included on the shelf with the plates. That's not something we often see, and yet it's a nice touch. And here, again, is another example of what we are seeing in the light to the medium tones. You're going to see more examples of this particular room arrangement in one of the palettes. Here's another mid-tone that we are seeing. It's not quite the bright, but it's in that softer mid-tone. And here is yet another combination. Now we know that that when we see this particular image and we see the woman sitting on the floor doing the yoga, we understand that this is still a very, very important idea as far as the market is concerned. Now, in personal care products, it's especially important. We're going to see this continuation of some of the pearlized, metallicized finishes. People are always asking me about the pearlescence and the metallics. Are they staying around? And I have to say they are, largely because of technology. And as you've heard me say before, particularly if you're in retail or you want to do something that's eye-catching online, the human eye absolutely cannot avoid looking at anything which undulates in color. It's a natural inclination to want to look to undulating movement because water undulates, and we need water in order to survive. So whether you're making the product with that pearlescent finish or you're simply putting it out to attract attention, it's really important to look at it from that standpoint. We know that there is this very simple look that we are seeing, the very minimalized look. We hear a lot about maximal, but this minimal idea is still out there, very much important. And yet, we still have some infusion of nostalgia. Now, the next Bridgerton sequel is coming out yet again, and that really has put the color world on its side because we are seeing some of the actual colors that really were used during that period of time that have faded over time. We always think of the older colors as being faded, but we find they're really quite bright. And so we're seeing some of that Bridgerton influence, although this time moving forward, the nostalgia isn't quite as bright as we saw in the first Bridgerton. Now here is more nostalgia. It's out there in the wood treatments, more of the nostalgia that we see here, but a little bit of a contemporary edge that's connected to it. And sometimes we see that there are products that are a little bit in between. They're not quite nostalgia, they're not new and modern, they're not contemporary, but they do strike a familiar chord because they lie somewhere in between the two. And this one I wanted to show you that because of the fact that there is such a difference here in the two applications. Much color in the treatment on the wall, and yet look at that hand-hewn table that is shown beneath it. Again, this eclectic look is continuing on. It is not going away. We are seeing that this is very much a wave of the future, and it is staying around. More pearlized finish. And these in various applications, art on the wall. The last one was a tile. I want to show you that again. It's not a new finish. It's not something that we haven't seen before, but we are definitely seeing it in many more applications. And of course, in the stemware, where we are more accustomed, but with other effects that are being added at the same time. And here in the personal care on the right-hand side, and on the left-hand side in paper goods. So a continuing phenomenon in the world of color. Of course, we always look to the automotive industry because they are so far ahead of the curve when it comes to looking at the technology and how it affects color. And this I thought was particularly effective because of the color impression that you get from the car. Is somewhat muted and yet is a little bit stippled in the effect. So we do, as forecasters, look at the concept cars of the future to give us an idea of color and complexity. Now this one I wanted to show you because this is a BMW design. This handsome BMW is stated by the company to have the DNA of the brand. So the brand is really important. It will be retro, but futuristic. Just what I was talking about before. Sounds a little bit of like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Retro yet futuristic. And yet we see it happening in this car. A reinvention of the past with a simpler design in order to focus on what they are calling the iVision D, the digital and emotional experience. And this is on the books for BMW. And to heighten that experience, the finish is made with a special ink technology that will allow the buyer to choose from this patchwork version of 32 different colors. Can you imagine 32 different colors in the automotive industry? So it shows you how far the color world is taking us. Now, I don't think you're going to be able to buy it in the patchwork, but you would have your choice of any of the colors that you see within the patchwork. That's quite astounding. These newer technologies will be impacting metallic surfaces and treatments, as we see here, and continue on. Again, a lot of it does come out of the fashion world, but not all of it, necessarily. Some more examples of these special technologies and the digitized art effects that we are seeing being used within. And I love this particular image because this is a great example of digitized art. And I wanted to show it to you before we move on to our palettes because I want to say a bit about the Pantone Color of the Year, which of course everybody knows now is Viva Magenta. Again, every year I have to go out and shop for the color of the year, right? It's the downside of my career is that I have to shop for new clothing in the color of the year, right? Any of the ladies sitting out there know that's absolutely untrue. But in any effect, I love this particular digital art, and it takes us now into the Magentaverse, as we call it. And I want to tell you the reasons why we chose this particular color. It's always kind of fun to share with you the reasons. So this is the Magentaverse, and we're going to take a moment now and to show you this short video adaptation of where we're going with our digitized art in the color of the year, Viva Magenta. I love this particular video because it really takes you into the world of digital art and ultimately winds up in the natural world. And I'm going to bring that in as I explain Viva Magenta to you as we move forward. So we are descending from the red family. This is a color that adds the dynamism and the style across many, many design areas. Starting first in the world of fashion, it is an assertive attention getter. Of course, we know that. It's a pulsating and exuberant hue. It's both powerful and empowering. So we see it in the fashion industry. We see it in hair coloring, this time on a man. It's a shade that encourages experimentation and self-expression without restraint. Important messaging, and I'm going to get to the other part of that reasoning as I move forward. It's a nuanced crimson red that shows a balance between warm and cool undertones and adds a multidimensional effect. Now again, in the paillettes, in the hair color, in the eye treatment color, unusual to see it used here, but as I said, an experimental and a self-expressive combination. In menswear, it's not really a surprise. We are seeing it used, of course, and men do accept the color very, very well. We know that it is a color that combines well with many other colors. Now, we don't think of it that way, but when you start to experiment with a color like Viva Magenta, you find that not only in the design, but in also color combinations, it's a little bit unusual. Now, if you've been trained in color, you know that red and blue-green are complements to each other. Now, we're taking a little liberty with this. We're turning our blue into a bluer blue and not making it a blue-green. But I wanted to show you this blistered effect again. Obviously, this is not every guy isn't going to run out and buy this outfit. But the technology that wrought this particular fabrication is really something to look at, and this is why we always look at the textile industry. Now, to give you a little history as to why we chose Viva Magenta, we felt that coming out again of what we've been coming out of the last few years, that the beetle in particular represented that little hard-shelled creature that has existed for centuries, for eons, and yet continues to exist. It's a metaphor for life. It's a metaphor for living, for continuing on, to give you the strength and to feel the empowerment to make your way forward. And of course, what this beetle renders is this magnificent cochineal dye, and it is the dye stuff, the natural dye stuff, that is getting so much attention in the textile industry, going back to that natural usage of dye. So this was part of our reasoning and rationale behind choosing Viva Magenta. It's not just a bit of fluff. We've never done that color before. There's a lot of forethought and homework that goes into the choice of the color. And as further areas where we're seeing it, we know it can lean to the traditional. At the same time, the color can be expressed in a very modern way, including in our prime way of communicating in this handsome Motorola phone, which is now in the marketplace. In interiors, Viva Magenta can be used boldly in kitchen cabinetry, in large appliances, as well as in small. It's a dramatic statement in painted surfaces, and also in carpet design, which I thought was really quite fabulous, the dripping paint, so to speak, coming down the carpet in the Viva Magenta. We also see that it is being used in glassware, in tableware. The applications are endless, but again, it's going to be the kind of color that's always going to attract attention. If we look at it in commercial interiors, we thought this was a particularly fantastic rendition of Viva Magenta. Now, the color is going to vary a little bit because the substrate differs. But here we see an entire interior. How much more dramatic and theatrical could you get than with a Viva Magenta used for that particular purpose? In industrial and auto design, this transformative color is capable of driving design, pardon me for that little pun, to a more positive future. It's a natural on a sports car where the nuances of Viva Magenta undertone is really apparent in this particular metallic finish. And unexpected in a stylized rower that could happily be featured as a piece of furniture within a given space. So it doesn't have to be hidden in the laundry room. The world of art has shown striking examples in this Rothko painting, and here again in this very stylized, textured imagery that we see here. However, it's in the world of digital art where Viva Magenta really becomes a star. Digitized effects are being used as filters to further emphasize the impact of color, and you can see the suggestion of the red filtering on the face. And Viva Magenta will take you to an immersive new experiential world of color and design. And this red helmet really caught my attention because this becomes an immersive art experience when you put the helmet on. So, various applications of Viva Magenta. And now I'm going to close with, drumroll, the 7 palette images that will tie everything that I've been talking about into neat little packages. And I'm going to urge you again to, as Peter said, come visit us at the Pantone booth in the Grand Concourse, because you'll be able to see these up close and personal. And I will be there to answer any questions that anyone has. Rather than taking a Q&A from the audience, we thought it would be greater to immerse ourselves in the palette color. So if you would like to join us in the Grand Concourse, I'd love to talk to you if you have questions. So we're going to look at the very first of the imagery. And here we see the 7 palettes in little snapshots. And here we're going to look at the very first, which is called Sustenance. Now, obviously, in your industry, in home and housewares, a very, very important area to look at. Deliciousness is highly suggestive of good taste. We're thinking about the rituals of entertaining and of dining. That really never goes out of style. It's something that people want to do. They want to come together. And now is the opportunity to use color in a magical new way. And again, you're seeing the strip of color here on the board. If you see it in a larger board, and we have our designer in the audience today, John DeFrancesco, who did an amazing job on those boards. Thank you, John. So that you can see this all, as I said, very personally, right up in front of them with the larger strips of color on them. So Sustenance, all about food and the gorgeousness of it and the way that it looks in a tablescape, for example. Look at the melange of colors that you see on the left. Quite beautiful. And what we're really liking about it is the usage of some of those greens, as you see the variety of the blue-green, the yellow-green, the deeper avocado green that used to be a terrible word and now is completely accepted again. And of course, some of the deeper tones that we are seeing and the suggestion of that pink that I mentioned that really in a tablescape is always quite delicious. We look on to the next, and that is called Replenish. Now, of course, I mentioned the good health and the stamina to come through everything we've come through. And this is all about a waterborne palette, Replenish. I mentioned whether on the water, in the water, under the water. And here again, you're seeing a melange of color where we're going to reach out beyond just the blues and the blue-greens. And we're reaching down, if you look down to the very bottom, to a more apricotty and pinky effect, which is the difference. Let's face it, color trends are about introducing a touch of newness that's going to make that customer stop and pay attention. What's different about this? What's unique about it? I already have those other colors, but how can I combine it? How can I reuse what I already have and make it look new and fresh? And that's what color combinations are all about, to engage their eye and give them something to replenish their minds and their eyes. If we look at the next palette, this is called Creative Mixology. And this one's great fun. It's all about the individuality that I talked about before. The colors are quite unique. The combinations, I think, are really wonderful. You've got something that represents just about every color family, including some of those earthy tones. Now, in the last few years, we talked a lot about the terracottas. They're still around, but we're seeing them used in new color applications and in new ways. And that's something to take another look at, to see how the terracottas are being combined now. Sanctuary is that palette that I referred to, that you have a steady group of consumers who are dedicated to this feeling of we want some softness, we want some relaxation. Of course, the difference today is that we're combining technology with our softness so that we have ease of use of many things in the house now, but they're kind of hidden underneath so that the softness kind of covers it. And that is a definite trend forward. Here you're seeing some of the pastels and the mid-tones. Note the use of the deeper brown, that kind of multi-chocolate brown which is an important part of this palette as well. This is a difference. This is something that gives some contrast so that the eye just doesn't wander over all the neutral and light tones and then disappear from it. This is the eye catcher, even though it's in brown. The next particular one is called Stylist, and this, of course, is about the fashion crossover. This really shows how digital platforms are now overlapping each other. This is a palette that has many of the blues and the blue-greens. As you see, the metallics are an important part of this palette. Now, some of you are going to look at this Stylist and say, well, we've done the blues and the blue-greens before. How is this different? And again, we want to get some of that sheen incorporated into this. We want to get that feeling of undulating water that comes into this sensation. And also the fact that if your eye slides down, you can see there is a very light kind of tealy blue-green, and they're sort of grayed down. Look at the colors in the model's hair. That same version of kind of undulating colors. Last year we referred to it as ombre effects, and now you're getting more chunky pieces of it rather than they're melting one into another. That's the simple difference in the palettes. The next one is Surrealism, which I've already explained to you, I think, in detail, but this one is really the fun colors. This is where we get some wackadoodle combinations simply because they're fun and they really do reflect the individuality that Surrealism speaks to us of as being. The Scenic palette, of course, is quite beautiful because it captures those scenes that we see, that the storm chasers see in the environment when there is extremes of weather to look at. And with climate change, this is a big subject that's out there. So capturing that feeling, that mood of not just a beautiful blue sky and the blue ocean, whatever we're used to seeing, but let's capture something that really is going to sustain the eye, make it linger for a while. And this is where all the storm chaser kind of colors come into play. That beautiful pinky, light pinky purple, some of the other tones that you are seeing here mixed with an orange, orange and the pinks, very, very big combination. And the top color, again, is an earthy tone. So we're getting a little bit of the earth involved in this, even though we're seeing the environment and the sky, making for some beautiful imagery. Okay, so now that brings us to the end of my talk today. And again, rather than doing a Q&A here, I would much rather get to meet you all in person and a hug or hold hands or do whatever upstairs so that we can talk a little bit more about this for those of you who are inclined. Thank you very much for coming today. Thank you.
Lee Iseman, everyone. Thank you, Lee.